We continue in Luke. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. From the very first days of the Christian movement, the table has been at the center. Of course, it all started with Jesus. So much of his ministry took place at the table, eating with outcasts and outsiders, accepting invitations from Pharisees and tax collectors, telling story after story about banquets and feasts where the most unlikely companions were together at the table and the kingdom of God showed up. In fact, the earliest followers of Jesus, our ancestors in the faith, were the subject of gossip and condemnation for their fellowship dinners, because they insisted on including the poor and the rich, slaves and free, women and men, Jew and Gentile. All of their dinners were welcome feasts because the table belonged to God, not to human hosts. And that table first set by Jesus, is still the place where we gather. At the table, we welcome all who are trying to follow Jesus and all who are still wondering what that might mean. Like the tables in our homes, the Lord's table holds so many stories. This morning's story from the Gospel of Luke takes place on Easter evening. Only a few hours have passed since two women heard the message of angels outside the tomb proclaiming the unbelievable news that Jesus was alive again, but no one has seen him, not yet. And so these two disciples walked the road to the village of Emmaus, their journey filled with the stories of the life and teaching, the encounters and conversations they'd shared with Jesus. I imagine it like a long car ride with a friend. Some stretches of silence, and then, "Do you remember the time when..." It's the language of grief. Tears and laughter so intermingled as to be indistinguishable in the bittersweet memories of what was, what could have been. At some point during that 7-mile walk, a stranger catches up to the two friends. Now we know who he is, but the grieving disciples cannot recognize him. We don't know why. Sometimes grief makes it hard to see. The stranger asks what they've been talking about. Well, they can't believe he hasn't heard. The story's been all over the evening news. It's a trending topic on Twitter. And so they describe the painful events of recent days, concluding with one of the most heartbreaking phrases in all of Scripture, "But we had hoped that he was the one." But we had hoped. For these grieving disciples, hope has been relegated to the past tense. We had hoped. Once we had hope. But not now, not anymore. Jesus, a stranger to them, engages in conversation, interprets scriptures, opens possibilities, but none of the words he speaks unlock the hearts of the disciples slammed shut by raw grief. None of the words do that. Only the table does that. They've been walking a long time and the day is nearly over. They stop and they invite Jesus to join them. That's not quite right. They don't invite him, they force him to stay, urge him strongly. There's something about that stranger. They want to hear more. The three take seats at the table. Surely the disciples were planning to host this stranger, but as soon as the table is set, Jesus reverses the role. He takes a loaf of bread, holds it in a way that must have been strangely familiar to them. He blesses it. He breaks it as though he's done this before. He gives it to them, and they see him. And they know. They just know. In that moment, that story of resurrection is real, that it is the story that now will define all their stories. Jesus offers no metaphysical alteration, no theological treatise, no elaborate explanation, just a borrowed table, some out-of-the-way place, just a crust of bread. Their eyes are opened when the bread is broken, and they know. They know him at the table. On this World Communion Sunday, I've been thinking about the powerful act of eating together in the ministry of Jesus and in the life of the church. Princeton Seminary New Testament professor Eric Barreto says that Jesus is his most Jesus at the table. At an ordinary meal infused with significance because of the people gathered around the food, you might say that the trademark practice of Jesus is the act of sharing a meal. We meet him at the table. Some of you know that my wife, Sarah, is a leader in our denomination's work of starting new worshiping communities all over the country. To my mind, it's the most exciting and vibrant ministry in the Presbyterian Church USA, and the stories of transformation, the stories of creativity, sacrificial risk, and faithfulness often astound me. In these entrepreneurial Christian communities, the Spirit of God is breathing new life into old institutions and making a way for the church to embrace its call boldly and broadly, inclusively and incarnationally. The tables set are diverse. And at the center of the life of these communities. In fact, one of the pieces of wisdom that Sarah has taught me from her ministry is this simple adage: don't ever invite anyone to church until you've invited them to dinner. Now, I think Jesus would endorse this instruction. I think the table is still at the center of Christian life. For it is at the table that the walls of separation we insist on building and the lines of division that we insist on drawing are broken down and erased as the bread is broken. At the table, we see Jesus, and because we see him, we see each other in a new way. And haven't we missed the table? Haven't we missed the table? Yes, one of COVID's many cruelties has been the loss of shared meals. Not just this table, but the understanding and friendship that come when bread is broken. So often over the last many months, I have yearned for the opportunities of reconciliation and dialogue offered by shared spaces. I have lamented the loss of such spaces in a time when we need them more than ever, these opportunities to hear different voices, to see each other eye to eye, face to face, soul to soul, human to human, opportunities to pass dishes we brought from our homes and hold hands for prayer, opportunities for laughter and human connection. We have desperately needed the table that shares and holds our stories. We have needed a table where we meet and know Jesus. We have needed a table desperately, and instead we have seen through a screen dimly. Our vision of one another mediated by pixels, our voices obscured by microphones and speakers. These screens may have kept us from spiritual starvation, but I think we know deep down that they cannot fully nourish our hungry hearts. We need tables desperately. We need tables. Nothing else would do, but when Jesus broke the bread, his disciples saw him. When Jesus handed them the bread, they knew him. At that table, they found their footing for future faith. Here's what happens. The story does not end at the table, not this story or ours. Instead, these two formerly hopeless friends sprint back to Jerusalem in the dead of night with a new message. The Lord has risen indeed. Because of the table, because of who was there with them, now anything is possible, and so they run back, charged up, ignited, equipped for the work of ministry, sent back where they came from to do the work they had been called and equipped to do. Did you know? Well, of course you know that the Lord's table is portable. It's portable. I've seen this table in hospital rooms and homeless shelters. I've seen it in preschool classes and under a canopy on the beach, off the trail, in the mountains, in a prison cell, in my car, on the playground, at a dining room table. On Friday afternoon, I saw this table set up outside the apartments at Lakeside Point, where a few second members brought bags of grocery and gallons of milk to our neighbors who are hungry. Our neighbors who are hungry, our neighbors are hungry. Those four words ought to be reason enough for followers of Jesus to set a table. And so we went. Now, I know it looked like a folding card table, but when the bread is broken, eyes are opened, and we see him, and we saw him. And we know him, and we knew him. The Lord has risen indeed. Friends, I really do believe this. Because Jesus Christ is alive, anything is possible in a world of physical and spiritual hunger. Because Jesus Christ is alive, hearts can be changed and resources can be gathered, ruined buildings can be reconstructed, and ruined lives can be made whole again. Since Friday afternoon, I can't get this image out of my mind. A man who has lived at Lakeside Point nearly 9 years said to me, When I first moved here, we used to decorate our windows at Christmas time. The kids loved that. Our neighbors are hungry, and we have a table. Now, this morning, we'll create a new memory at this old table. Get ready for that sentence. We've never done it this way before. Pre-packaged plastic cups, tiny paper-thin wafers don't prepare for a crunch. They don't crunch. I think the juice tastes a little like Kool-Aid. Another adjustment to these strange times when we've known hunger, we've known the hopelessness and fear of those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and yet that table has sat here in the center all along the way. And yet that table belongs to God, not human hosts. And yet we still welcome all who try to follow, all who still wonder what that means. And yet Jesus Christ is still the host of our table. The resurrected one who restores faith and reignites hope. The resurrected one who walks alongside us, often unseen and unknown, through the deepest valleys of despair. The resurrected one who just keeps tearing down every single barrier we build to keep some people away from our table. Jesus Christ is the host of this table. From the bread he blesses, breaks, and gives, you will receive nourishment that might just satisfy your deepest need. All you have to do is come to the table with empty hands and open hearts. But it won't stop there. Because Jesus Christ is the host of this table, you will be sent into a world of many hungers to set tables and extend invitations, to share what you have, to serve God's persistent, pursuing grace. This is the Lord's table. It tells our story. It gathers us, feeds us, equips us, and sends us. And like these tiny plastic packaged elements, this table is portable. It moves into the world. By the grace of God and with the courage of Christ, let's go with it. Amen.